Hello, everyone. My name is Mbuyi. Today, we bring you a podcast that was recorded about 3 months ago. So the delay in publishing this podcast has been because we are setting up a social media page for the podcast. It's Waking Up in South Africa. Find us on Instagram. Okay. The guest in today's podcast is Yako Jackson. I met Yako in a mental health event earlier on in the year. We started talking from there, and she was so kind to accept my invitation into the podcast. And we had a really good conversation talking about waking up in South Africa. Yako is a coach at Uqobolam Coaching, and she has been working in the corporate world for 15 years. And 12 of those years have been in leadership. She has a wealth of experience in people management and development. She has done some work in the IT sector. She's done some diversity management work. But what we focus on in this podcast is the waking up journey, her own personal waking up journey, and also what she has been seeing around her. Some of the challenges that prevent people from continuing with the waking up journey. I hope you will enjoy this podcast as much as we enjoyed recording it with Yako. Enjoy.
Thank you, Mbuyi. Thank you for having me. My name is Yako Jackson, and I serve as a coach, and I'm really delighted to be a part of this conversation today.
So, Yako, the first question that I would like to ask you is, what does waking up mean to you? What does it mean to wake up?
So for me, waking up means remembering who we are, reconnecting to the essence of who we are as people. It's the journey that I've gone through, I could say actively, for the past maybe 6 or 7 years in my life. And it's been quite rewarding, painful at times, but overall, a journey that I'm truly grateful to have embarked on, and I still am embarking on. But waking up, in essence, just for me, means waking up, remembering who we are, almost reconnecting truly with ourselves.
So we named our podcast Waking Up in South Africa because we are very much passionate about waking up. And for us as well, waking up means waking up to who we are. Because there are lots of things along the way that put us to sleep, so to speak. So there are lots of distractions, there's social media, there are traumas that we have been through. There are lots of things that put us to sleep, and there is a need to wake up, to reconnect with who we are, as you are saying. So for you, can you please just talk a little bit about your experience with the waking up journey? What would you say have been some of the challenging things for you as a Black person and waking up to who you really are?
Sure. Challenges as a Black person, as a Black woman.
As a Black woman.
To waking up. Yes. thinking about the intersectionality of all of these labels, if you want to call them that. Waking up has been, like I said, a journey that I'm still embarking on. But when I think about my life and key points or key experiences that I've had that I can literally relate to having gone through the process of initiation into becoming a traditional healer and a spiritual healer, that was a big one, a massive one. Becoming a mother also was a kind of like an igniter for me that assisted me to wake up to myself. Having a child with special needs also woke me up. Something that has happened in different phases of my life, and each time where I've engaged with it, it's really opened me up to the power that I possess internally, the strength that I have as a woman, as a Black woman. And it's also brought me very close to the deeply rooted traditions and the wealth of information that we possess as Black people, and we dismiss it as taboo, and it comes back and it gets reintroduced to us, and it's called mindfulness, for instance. I'm able to connect quite deeply with mindfulness because of my exposure and opportunity to wake up to myself. And it's being a Black person, the way that we can live our lives daily, definitely incorporates mindfulness.
Hmm. You talk about that. You just reminded me of what Steve Biko would say. He would say, Black men, you are on your own. And that was all about Black consciousness. For me, like being on a mindfulness journey of waking up, Black consciousness means waking up to who we are as Black people, seeing our power and also like seeing our space in the world, because I think there's a lot that's out there that can make a lot of people believe that they are not on the same level as other people or as other races. But Black consciousness would be saying, let's wake up to who we are. Let's be proud of who we are. Let's be proud of our Blackness. So I've just been also thinking about the challenges that come with this waking up. And for me, I have to say that not a lot of people within my circle are interested in this waking up journey. And in a way, a lot of people would prefer to stay with the distractions. A lot of people do not enjoy what they see in the waking up journey. That's what I mean by the challenges. And even for myself as well, I've noticed that it's not that easy, because in mindfulness, they talk about moving towards, turning towards the discomfort instead of turning away from the discomfort, which is what I think most people have been taught to deal with discomfort. I don't know if you have anything to say about that.
Oh, absolutely. If there's anything that I can say for sure, is that suffering is almost like it's a gateway to peace. You know, there's no way that you can tap into the essence of who you are, into your power, without suffering. And the point you've just made now, that we've been conditioned to see pain as a bad thing, to see suffering as a bad thing. And if we don't change that perception and welcome it, you know, and take from it the lesson that it brings, because there's a saying that, I mean, the darkest hour comes just before dawn. I hope I've said it right. But that is true, in that allowing yourself to embrace your suffering and sit in the fire a little bit, you know, burn for as long as you're required to burn, you emerge from it so much more powerful, so much more understanding, so much more connected, not just to yourself, but to all life forms. There's a deep understanding that comes from embracing suffering that really is you as a person, to be better equipped to deal with life. You know, you don't wrestle with life situations as much. There's a knowing that sits behind suffering that is very, very empowering.
I'm very much interested in talking more about that, because for most people, even for me, for a long time, like, this has been a counterintuitive idea, this idea of embracing suffering instead of moving away from it. And when people are listening to us talk about suffering like this, they might be thinking, how do you do it? How do you practically do it? How would you choose to embrace the suffering instead of moving away from it? And for me, in my personal practice of mindfulness, the way I do that is by noticing in my body when something is happening. I'm talking about an event. It could be a stressful event. I notice that I can feel this suffering in my body. It could be an uncomfortable feeling moving from my belly towards my chest, or it could be heavy breathing. It could be my heart beating really fast. So for me, that's when I know that, okay, right now I am suffering. And what I do when that happens is I just sit with it. I notice, I welcome it, instead of moving away from it and distracting myself by being on social media or watching Netflix or finding someone to talk to who's going to distract me from what's really happening. I just listen to it. I sit with it. But there are times when it's very difficult because I've been conditioned to believe that when that is happening, when that suffering is arising, you need to move away from it.
I like how in that feeling, that sensation, that discomfort comes through. It's quite easy to turn to something else to distract yourself from sitting with it, right?
Mm.
And for me, what stands out is how it perpetuates the cycle of running. You are basically adding more to your suffering instead of sitting with it, kind of like walking away from it whole and healed. And I'll try and give you an example. And this talks to how we medicate when we feel uncomfortable. And I'm not suggesting that there's anything wrong with taking medication. I'm not a medical doctor. But something that I know personally I used to do when this lockdown situation started, I mean, my entire routine went out of whack and I could not sleep. Initially, I couldn't sleep. I had this headache that was just constant. It wouldn't go away. And I started taking Adderall for the headache, right?
Mm.
And then I realized, oh, okay, I sleep better when I take Adderall. And then at some point, I couldn't sleep if I didn't take Adderall. And at some point, I realized, no, this is not who I am. I don't have sleeping problems. So where did this start? You know, I'm going to stop taking. If there's a headache, I'm going to sit here and I'll drink water and I will let it happen. And eventually that headache dissipated because I became aware of it. I didn't run away from it. I looked at it, allowed it to do what it is that it came to do.
Mm. That is so beautiful.
So it just subsides, you know, and when you remove distraction, it comes back. Whereas when you turn awareness, it dissipates forever.
Mm.
You know, I personally have experienced, and every single time I'm about to pop a pill, be it for a headache or for whatever it is that I'm feeling, I remind myself, you know, to stop and listen to your body, because that feeling that you're getting is feedback. Listen to what it's telling you.
Mm. It sounds like your moment of waking up was when you started asking yourself, why am I taking these pills? When you started realizing that I'm not a person who's got sleep issues, what's happening right here? So to me, that's painting that waking up moment, that there was a sudden awareness that, okay, this is going on right now. And that's the power of that waking up. That's the power of waking up, the power of being aware of what's happening right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's it. It's almost like the minute you step into present moment awareness, this is where I am. This is how I'm feeling. It literally clears away the noise and it brings you towards yourself and you become so much more able to move from where you are to the next moment, because you've received the gift of that moment in its totality. And that is mindfulness, is it not?
Yeah, it is. I'm just thinking now, we are talking about our relationship to suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And this suffering we are talking about could be a lot of things. It could be stress. It could be physical pain, as we're talking about body sensations. So in your practice, and not just in your practice, actually, as a coach, but in your life experience, what are you noticing to be the biggest stressors at the moment for people? It can be people that come to you. It can be people that you work with. It can be your family. What are the biggest stressors that you are picking up at the moment?
So generally, even for me personally, when I experience stress, because I don't want what's happening now to be happening now, right? Just wanting the present moment to be something else. And it becomes general, even when I speak to my coaching practice, the manifestation of stress may be different in the actual life situation that a person finds themselves in. So it could be, look, I'd really want to be studying a certain course. I don't have the money to study. And so I'm not even going to try and make a plan to embark on that journey. And because of that, people become resentful of the people that they look after. And this now is the topic of black tech, right?
Yeah.
Where you've got this responsibility to look after your family and you cannot do for yourself what you would like to do for yourself. And really understanding the situation for what it is and accepting, you know, there's power in accepting things for what they are. I know that there's the sense that accepting is passive. It's almost like you're sitting there and you're allowing life to do to you what it pleases. But there's power in just accepting that this is the situation right now. And from that moment, you wake up to the possibilities of what the situation could be, to correct it or to improve it, but not until you've accepted the reality of that situation in that moment.
When we are faced with these stressors, and for example, the example that you are making here is black tax, we are more inclined to move away from the stressor itself, from the situation itself. And what we are not seeing, which is right in front of us, is the power of sitting with the reality that is unfolding at that moment. And I have had this challenge as well with black tax, as it is called. And I noticed that it was a huge problem for me when I was avoiding it. And it was actually more of a conversation that I had to have with my mother. And as soon as I turned to what was really happening, turned to the discomfort, I was able to have that conversation. And as soon as I was able to have that conversation with my mother, I think the stress like went down a little bit, and I was able to be with it. I was able to find solutions. I was able to talk to her about how much do you think I can support you, and this is how much I think I can realistically contribute. And it's better that way. But before that, I was just moving away from it. I was just avoiding it. And the behavior was just like me avoiding phone calls from my mother and me just feeling very much stressed towards the end of the month, because there was that thought that, okay, it's month end and my mom is going to call and she's going to ask for money. And sometimes it's money that I don't have. I need to use this money to contribute towards that course that I am doing or something like that is good for me.
Absolutely. And another thing that I've seen, and it's happened because we're not open, you know, around, look, I don't actually earn that much. I cannot afford to give you what you expect. I'm not sure what it is about us wanting to seem like we can afford things that we can't. And to keep up with the card, we then turn to debt, right? You then take a loan and you take a credit card. And all that does is that it increases the pressure, which becomes this vicious cycle, right, of dysfunction. And that is how we then destabilize our own mental health. Because operating in that space, which is the case for a lot of us, then at what point do you become mindful? You know, when you are finding yourself literally in the eye of the storm, like things are just going out of control, you know? So what I see as how mindfulness can help is saying, where am I now? You know, in response to what is happening around me, can I afford to actually give you this much money on a monthly basis? Acceptance says, no, I cannot. Accept that you cannot. And then you work with your people around what can we do now that we understand the situation to be what it is, you know? And people will then say, I actually don't need for you to give me 2,500 rand every month. But because we don't speak openly, we don't accept our situations for what they are. We find ourselves in what we now term, like you said, black tax.
So Yako, that's very interesting to me, because I'm hearing you say that just because we cannot sit sometimes with the reality that we don't have this money or we cannot afford to contribute right now, instead of sitting with that, we actually end up getting into debt because we want to soothe ourselves. We want to gloss over the fact that we cannot afford this right now.
Yep.
And waking up in this sense is being aware that, okay, this is what is going on right now. I cannot afford to contribute 2,500 rands this month. Let me step into a conversation with this person instead of moving away from the discomfort that that situation comes with, Am I able to sit with it? And am I able to sit with this person in conversation?
Absolutely. And where I've found, or what I have found out in moments where I've had to call myself to the present moment and have that conversation, is that people understand, you know, when you speak from that place of stillness, of truth, of trust, people understand. We need to teach ourselves to be still with our minds, with our spirits, and connect with other people from that place. Then the world is actually not as bad as they seem.
Yeah. So, Yako, for a lot of people who are experiencing stress, where can you point them? What interventions are out there that people can try to seek? Or what can people do? What practices can people do? I'm asking this as someone who myself find myself most of the time under a lot of stress, work-wise, relationship stress, at home with family. And I found that it's very helpful for me to have a practice, a mindfulness practice. So what I do is I do meditation every day, at least 30 minutes of meditation. And I do yoga as well. And I feel very privileged to be able to say that those are the practices that I do. And I'm thinking now, for someone who's listening to this podcast, what do you think they can do? What practices do you think they can also start doing? Or what interventions can they go to? Because I also see someone who's a professional, who's a therapist. I see a therapist every now and again to talk about my issues. That's also part of the practices and the interventions that I go to.
Yeah, we need to normalize meditation. I've spoken to so many people, even I myself, before I started really fully engaging in meditation, I used to feel like, what am I doing? You know, try not to think and think about the fact that I'm trying not to think. And that's just more thinking. But I didn't stop. There was improvement in myself. And at a later stage, the people around me would notice that, oh, okay, you seem lighter. You feel lighter. You are radiant. You seem calmer. So we need to really be open to learning. And we need to understand that we're not the only ones experiencing problems in life. I personally joined this platform. It's called Agenda Women. And before lockdown, we used to meet every month where we would sit and talk about, first of all, just to know each other, you know, as a group of women, talk about issues that would come up in that space. So there would not be a predetermined topic that we're going to address, but it's a space for people to just be, you know, and to be in the moment, which is the most powerful thing I've experienced from a group of strangers. I was able to kind of like step outside of my day-to-day, which is like in my head, planning, but not manifesting anything. And being in that space allowed me to wake up. Places like that, where there's a network of people outside your immediate circle, you know, because your immediate circle will be people that you've lived with for so long, who feel that they know you. And so when you try something new, they'll tell you upfront that, you're not going to make it when I say I was, you know, We know your habits. You know, go out there, meet brand new people. And connect with people and opportunity to reinvent yourself, you know, and shift the way that you are in the world and really just take the power. And for me, forming part of this network truly has been a blessing in that I was able to go out and engage with people that I don't know and be present in a way that I've always known I was capable of being, but perhaps felt like with the people around me, maybe I feel like I'm being fake. They don't connect with what I'm trying to achieve here. So be open to connecting with people outside. Be a little bit more bold and courageous about talking about your situation, because you are not the only one. And people out there have gone through what you've gone through and come out the other side stronger. And it's encouraging to hear. You know, to hear that, oh, okay, if you've been through that and you look this beautiful and you are this strong, I can also, you know, it can be for me. And you learn to own your story and to be comfortable with it. And that brings you back to being mindful. Because if you don't sit with your truth, if you don't own your truth, if you don't accept your truth, you cannot change your life. You cannot change the trajectory of your life. You just keep on reliving the same experience with different people.
Mm. Yeah, I hear you, Yako. And I've talked to a lot of friends who, when I refer them to such circles, the one that you are talking about, where people just sit and talk and listen to each other, they would say things like, okay, that's a Western thing, that's a white thing to do. People just don't see themselves in those spaces because a lot of people are not used to talking about how they feel about what they have been through. But we know that that is effective, that works, as you have just said now. So what would you say to those people who will say, okay, I'm a black person and you can't expect me to go to such interventions? That's like, those are just white spaces and I don't feel welcomed in those spaces. They are not mine.
I would say, remember who you are, because that is not true. We are brought up in that way. If we think back to home where we come from, our fathers and our mothers and our older sisters, uncles, all of them support each other. It's just in ways that we consider unconventional. It's ways that we consider to not be modern enough. And by having that outlook, we remove ourselves from wisdom, from knowledge, from strength, from knowing who we are. So if people are not open, which I know, I mean, I've had, like I said, similar experiences with people around me. It's just a matter of, just be open, give it a try, and see the difference that it will make in your life. Because otherwise, again, you just keep on recreating the same kind of experiences in different spaces. And then you call yourself unlucky, you call yourself cursed, you call yourself all these other words that basically just cement and keep you in a negative situation.
Mm. And Yako, there's also something that we talked about in one of our earlier meetings. We were talking about how people perceive mindfulness as an Eastern thing. It has its roots in the East. But when we come to South Africa, most of the mindfulness spaces are mostly white. And when you invite someone to a mindfulness event, they will tell you that it's white. And I think when we were talking, you were telling me about your waking up journey in the period of your life, how... Yeah. Most of it was shaped up with stillness. It was just stillness.
The principles around mindfulness is that you learn openness. You've got to be open to receive, right? And to receive, it's literally open to receive stillness in this process. You are taught to trust that what you receive, what you sense, your intuition, you connect with your intuition at a much deeper level. You learn to be patient. There's something quite key in patience because you are isolated from people, you know? You are literally taken away from your day-to-day interactions of people to be stillness so that you can re-emerge a different person. And the biggest one is learning to surrender, you know? To let go of your old self and be open to connecting with your true self. After having gone through that and coming across mindfulness, I couldn't tell them apart, you know? Did I pass out? Did I go through a mindfulness course? You know? What just happened? Because it's there. It's ingrained in our way of being as Black people. It's there. We just see it as a foreign concept, but it's not. It really is the way that our cultural traditions are truly ingrained in mindfulness. Another thing that just completely blew me away is our language, right? Mm. Right now we speak with taking the time to listen to what we are saying. Where I come from, ke Motswana, and we greet each other. So you say dumelang, and then you follow up with lekai. And when you say lekai to a person, you are asking them where they are. You're not asking them how they are, you know? And if you take a moment and really just sit with that, our parents, the way that they would respond to that, it would be a long-winded answer. But in essence, what they're doing, they're collecting their spirits back and situating themselves in the present moment, you know?
Mm.
So every single moment they would greet somebody, they would get an opportunity to be in the present moment by responding to legai, you know?
Mm.
If you look at isiZulu, the way Zulu people greet, they say sawubona. And that is to say, I see you.
Mm.
How much more can you honor another being? You know, we all are doing the things that we're doing every day because we want to be seen. And yet in our language, we offer it as a greeting.
Hmm.
That brings you to the present moment. That in itself is a mindful practice. If you amplify it with purpose, if you listen to yourself and you know what you are saying to the next person when you say sawubona, you know, practice mindfulness. We just don't connect with it because we don't know what we are doing. Going back to the story of remembering, we just need to remember. We need to wake up.
Mm.
Because the tools are there. We've just forgotten how to use them.
Yeah.
How to use them.
That's so insightful, Yako. And when you were talking about the language, when we talk about waking up and someone has gone through the Twasa process and there is Sangoma, in Xhosa we say, uyabona. That means they can see. And that means that they have transitioned from being asleep to waking up and suddenly seeing things as they are. So it further reinforces what we are talking about here, that these practices of mindfulness are in our culture, like it's being a human being. It's not a foreign thing. It's something that we know. It's in our culture. It's deeply ingrained in our culture.
Mm, absolutely. Absolutely. That just landed so beautifully and so powerfully for me because it's the universal truth. You know, you've processed and now you can see. You've been sleeping. Now you're awake. It's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. I could go on and on and on.
Yeah, I'm aware of time, Yako, and we've come to the end of the time that we had scheduled together. And I'm so grateful for this opportunity to have this powerful conversation with you. And I hope we can do it again.
Oh, thank you so, so much. Having spoken about this, remembering in this conversation, you know, things that feel true. I'm literally, my entire body, if you talk about being mindful, is vibrating with excitement. So thank you so much. I feel so alive. I feel so awake. Thank you, Mbui.
Thank you, Yako. And thank you to everyone for listening to this episode. Goodbye, Yako.